Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, so simply this you probably know very well. But as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, last week, Clive was preaching on our identity in Christ and living out that identity in him and the five different foundations. And we were looking at what God thinks of us, that we're chosen in him, we're loved, priceless, and totally able. And this week, we're looking at living out five cultural behaviors, spirit-shaped culture as a community in the presence of the Spirit. And these behaviors are hallmarks of a vibrant Christian life, I believe. And so we'll be looking at abiding and being filled with the Spirit of God. Two, we're going to be looking at sensitivity to his Spirit. Three, faith-filled, which is spelled risk. And four, we look at celebrating courage. And five, naturally supernatural. So with no further ado, let's just crack on. So the first one, abiding and going on being filled with God's Spirit. So we actively teach and practice being filled and developing friendship with the Holy Spirit that produces his fruit in our lives. John 15:4-14 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and then thrown into the fire and burned. And that's a stark reminder. And in 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that word in that chapter appears at least 9 times, abide. And that word means to adhere to, comply with, conform to, follow, obey, observe. And, in Acts 2, that community, the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's an everyday infilling. Because, let's face it, guys, we leak. We do need God's presence. And I remember a phrase from Bishop Leslie Newbegin, guy from HTB, a theologian. And he said this: we collectively are a bag of mixed fruit, not a bunch of mixed nuts, yeah. So we're here to produce fruit, and fruit that remains, that lasts. My second point to developing that a spirit-shaped culture is sensitivity to his presence. We are practicing a sensitivity to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We teach that as a community, so that it directs our decisions and our behavior. As you know, the prophetic, we love that here because we use that as a yardstick and a guide. And we've got people like Angela and the leadership and the counsel of that wisdom. So as God, we listen to God and share our ideas and where we should go and what the vision of our church is. And John 16 reminds us, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. Jesus, all things that the Father has are mine. So it's about our connection. And what are we uploading and downloading? You see, for me, when you belong, you believe. And when you believe, you behave. Now, you don't need leaders or us to point out certain things in your life or where you're going, because with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're arrested, it's Him who brings conviction. Our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is as much as us want to be how close we are to Him. God does not reward disobedience, but He rewards obedience. And that came from Angela 2 weeks ago, if you remember. So my question to you is, how sensitive are you to the nudging and the unction of the Holy Spirit? You know, we have amazing leaders here, and we have amazing people, an amazing church family. But as much as some of us, we would like to live out that walk for you, we can't. Each walk is individual. I can't live out Clive's or Colin. You know, we are accountable to God for our walk. But listen, heaven forbid if any of us should be caught like five of the unwise virgins who did not have enough oil in their lamps as they were trimming. In Matthew 25, 1-3, or like the unwise steward, not using the gifts and the talents. We must build firm foundations, and we build on the rock, not on sand. And my other point to developing a spirit-shaped culture is the third, is faith-filled. So faith is built risk, trusting God. So we love people who are growing in their faith and filled and using their gifts of the Spirit in every context of their lives, inside and outside the church, gatherings, you know, whether that's in your workplace, in your families, wherever you are, we're bringing that Spirit, that anointing, that people know who you are, who your God is. And, you know, it's so great to see so many of you guys, some of the setup team and different people stepping out, worship, you know, it's amazing. And people are using their gifts and talents. And that is just amazing. And the enthusiasm, you know, we just thank all you guys, you know. And one thing we love to do is we model, because Jesus modeled. And, you know, we're from New Frontiers, and one of our spheres, the sphere that we follow under, is Bedford. And Bedford teach us. We pass that down. And that phrase that we coin, disciples who make disciples. And, you know, what you've got to understand, it's core. It's not taught. You've got to catch these things, like Colin catching evangelism off Clive, and you know, and you see the fruit of that. The fourth point to developing a spiritual shaped culture is we regularly leave room to celebrate stories of courage and of obedience in our communities. Now, it's not always about the amazing testimonies, like Lauren getting up for the first time and sharing that. We celebrate that. We love that. Because it is about stepping out and taking a leap of faith and stepping out of our comfort zones. You know, how about our brave and courageous NHS staff? Those who've lost their lives on the front line, dying to protect their patients on duty, risking their lives again and again. You know, we need to be on our knees, guys. And I'm so glad that we've got that prayer meeting. You know, and that call to fast as well. You know, because you remember Colin was calling out for that prayer last week when God woke him up at 5 in the morning. You see, we need that unction. John 15. So I watched a movie last Sunday about William H. Pitzenberger, who was a United States Air Force pararescueman who flew on almost 300 rescue missions during the Vietnam War to aid downed soldiers and pilots. And on April the 11th, 1966, he was killed aiding and defending a unit of soldiers pinned down by the enemy assault during that war. And basically, you can imagine, you know, sort of injured, wounded soldiers being carried up, stretchered up. He chose not to go back up onto the helicopter, but he said, no, stay, go, stay. And he's still protecting and patching up and picked up a rifle and carried, you know, but lost his life for that. And the men on that day who saw that battle, they just, for 33 years, and friends and family, fought for this man to get the Medal of Honor. And that's how long it took. And that story was told. You know, watch the movie. It was amazing. But John 15, 13 to 14 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. Now, you know, we're not all evangelists and we're not all teachers. And guys, I'm not the best preacher, but we can all be witnesses. You know, we can all be witnesses, right? You see, in Acts 1, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. You shall be my witnesses locally, nationally, and internationally. This is a safe space, guys. As a family, we continue stepping out in your groups, wherever you are, in your homes, you know, stepping out in your areas, your sphere of influence, and into your communities. We encourage every member ministry. You know, in that 1 Corinthians 12, you know, where Paul is describing the body, and it says about an eye cannot say, I don't need you, to the hand, and a foot cannot say, I don't need you. You know, but one Spirit and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing works to each one individually as he wills. Yet there is a more excellent way. Love. We do it in love. In love for our God. And you know, guys, we are learning about honoring and honoring our people. But you know what? It is easy to miss others. And I apologize to those who may have felt missed out by the, you know, but at the same time, we can't have talk about schisms and gossip or idle talk, because guess what, guys? Unbridled pride leads to jealousy and anger. And you know, sometimes when I feel something or something in the church or some stuff going on or whatever, for me, the way I deal with that is that I always have to say, God, give that person more. You know, I have to address myself and I have to check myself. What's going on here? Why is that rising up in my spirit right now? Why do I feel irritated by that? And I just say, to negate all of that, I just say, no, Lord, bless them. Give them more. Give them more. And that works every time. It just brings all that stuff down. It gets rid of that. And you know, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer in this heart body. And or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice. And we should be celebrating one another's gifts. And the fact that the gift is amongst us, what's the point in me having the gift I don't know, something else. and we need the gift of something different, maybe helps or whatever. You know, we must celebrate that the gift is amongst us. If Clive or Colin have got something that I don't have, let's celebrate that the gift is amongst us. You know what I mean? It's not that it's all for Clive or it's all for Colin. No, the gift is amongst the body, and we celebrate that. Yeah? We celebrate that. And my fifth point to the that shaped culture, spirit-shaped culture, is, guys, we are naturally supernatural. We teach people how to heal the sick, bring freedom from oppression, lead people to Christ, and do the works of the kingdom. And you know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where it says, therefore, go and make disciples, and signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Now, he doesn't say, when you're ready, go and make disciples. He doesn't say, when you make up your mind, go and make disciples. You know, he doesn't even say, if you're thinking about it, go make disciples. The command is to go. Jesus presumes that you are going, that you're gone, you're going. Action. Go. When was the last time you prayed for someone or somebody, and you know, or engage somebody? I know it's hard out there to evangelize at the moment and in our current situation, but you know, we have to be a people who are going to get used to using different methods and creative ways to reach our communities and our families. And you know, with regards to that, bear with us, because as the World Church London develops its digital footprint, you know, and thank you for those guys. It's happening, you know, it's happening. We were setting up right here last week Sunday. And I hope these guys won't be embarrassed by that. But I heard Colin and Sam talking, and the gist of their conversation was that Colin had been watching some football or something, or were in a pub or something like that. And the local football team had come and arrived in the pub. But there was one guy who was on crutches. And Colin said an interesting thing. He said, I didn't pounce on him straight away. I was looking for an opportunity and to introduce myself. And, you know, I won't steal his thunder, let him tell you that story, but whatever happened, the outcome, I'm sure we'll hear one day soon. But Ephesians 5:16 says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days of evil, the days are evil. And I want to say, and to take that scripture out of context a little bit, I would even just say, Jesus spent so much time with the Father, and he was God. And if he needed to, why would we think otherwise? I would say, let's make the most of every opportunity to spend time with the Father. And you know what? The interesting thing is the Message version. And when I read it, I just thought, no, I've got to put this in. It says, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose those things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things that they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. And I thought, wow, you know what? That's powerful. And not so long ago, my Aunt Dolly, Denise's auntie, really, mum's sister, we had a call back in November 2019, I think. And we were called to go around to the house. And it was kind of, there was a sense that there wasn't much time left. And so people were gathered at the house, and they were around the bed, and I was downstairs speaking to Beverly, her daughter. And I just, you know, and I knew there was going to be a time where they might call us for prayer, because, you know, they knew that Denise and I are Christians. And so that call came, and I just said, Lord, you got to be here, because we were, you know, this person is lying in their sickbed, and you got to imagine there's family surrounding this bed. And I took her hand, and I knelt down. And as I started to pray, you know, faith just came upon me, and I just had this confidence. And when I was praying, I just started praying and proclaiming that this is not your time. And as I was praying, she started to stir. And yes, the word of God was almost like connecting with her heart and reviving with her heart, because I knew she was a strong Christian, and she was connecting with the word of God that what I was praying, and the breath and the life. And then she was sort of like starting to nod, and they were just like and agreeing in the spirit. And the family were going, oh, auntie, you know, you've woken up, and all this sort of thing. Do you know what? 6 months later, Auntie Dolly passed, you know, and because of that witness, I had the privilege of officiating at her funeral. The family asked me, I'm not an official pastor, but they asked me to officiate at her funeral. Because I was confident, I knew where she was going. She loved the Lord, she loved Jesus. Now, sometimes people are looking at to you because you are the only Christian in that family situation or in that set of circumstances for such a time as this. And I know Clive often says, me and Denise have a gift for the breed. I don't know, maybe, but we're just being gracious and compassionate, you know. We've all got different gifts of helps or whatever. We all have something that God has given each and every one of us. And whether that is Cecilia sending out a recording of leading worship to her boss, which, you know, the response was phenomenal. We have got to use these different techniques or different ways, if you like. And 1 Peter 3, you know, always be prepared, 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But to do that in gentleness. And our greatest hope for today is to acknowledge and confess that we have placed our hopes and our money, I'll hold my hand up, possessions and credit cards and borrowing on money we could probably never pay back, or our status symbol in these things, when it should be in Jesus. And I just want to go through two things that may be countercultural to developing our spirit-shaped culture. And I can't say for you, but let me tell you what it was for me. I can tell you through this time that distractions and busyness and unhealthy preoccupations can steal your time, your energy, and your money. Even deception and denial to what's going on. You know, some of us, we've been too comfortable with our walk with the Lord. And some of us, we're experiencing a great deal of anxiety right now, and stress and frustration. You know, I heard this statistic on a conference that I was recently, that the pastoral crisis, that 3% of pastors right now feel successful. And only 1% of them feel understood. And Youssef, I was listening to this guy, and he was saying that this time is not, every crisis is a dress rehearsal before the trumpet blows. Don't waste the warning signs, God's divine alarm bell. Wake up, church. And maybe we have been placed too much emphasis on our Sunday services. In time of crisis, it's our hearts that need transformation, not just the economy alone. So we lead others to worship. We bow down to the living God. We make disciples who make disciples. And I don't know about you, with the more recent news and the threat of lockdown or circuit breakers, whatever you want to call it. Listen, guys, don't join in with the world's panic. Let others see the confidence, that you have in your God and my God, that we can give that answer for that hope. So, we have to rise up, guys. We have to rise up. There's a new normal. And it's here today, and it's here to stay for a while. And those of us wishing to go back, we can't. God woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning, which would have been 5 o'clock, and he said one thing to me this morning. And I didn't realize when I heard it. He said, the harvest is coming, and it's ripe for picking. Now, I can't tell you what that whole landscape and that future is looking like, emotionally or physically, but I can tell you this. God says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He won't leave us as orphans because we are sons and daughters of the living God. He said, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer because he has overcome. He is risen. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if we hold true to his promises, and if all that we do is remain standing, keep on standing, church. Keep on standing. My challenge to you this morning is, to those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice, to those of you online, those of you here, everyone has the potential to be a world changer and transform their communities. You know, we have to abide and go on being filled. It's present continuous. Because if we're sensitive to the unction of the Holy Spirit and not grieve it, we're also people that are going to be faith-filled, and we're going to be stepping out and taking risks. And in doing so, we celebrate courage and honor that. And of course, naturally, we're supernatural. And we go out and do that work. Now, if you're like me, for some reason, maybe, you know, you've been distracted and caught up with some unhealthy preoccupations. I want to pray for you and that stolen time and that energy. And some maybe there's a sense of denial and deception going on. And you're just plain fed up and you need the peace of God. You know, as we said, we saw an amazing couple get married yesterday. And congratulations to the guys, Liz and Glenn, and to Clyde and Debbie. But God was pointing out to me that there are some here, and maybe some of you are listening online, that you've been looking for a partner, that you've been waiting a long time. And God wants to meet you at that point of need today.
Come on.
Where is that sense? It's been a long time. So I wanna pray for that situation. If we can respond by those who are here, can we just stand? So if for some reason you have been distracted, Lord, I pray for those who have been distracted or had some unhealthy preoccupations, that Lord, that the time and the energy that has been stolen from you, Lord, I pray that you will restore that time, give back that time, Lord, realign the focus with the renewing of the mind, Lord. For those that may be suffering high levels of anxiety and stress, Lord, I pray, bring your peace right now. Bring your peace, Lord, into those situations. And Lord, I pray for those who men and women who are longing and desiring their partners, their other halves. Lord, meet them at their point of need. Meet them at their point of need this morning, Lord. More marriages, Lord. So people can go out on mission for you, Lord. More marriages, Lord. In this church, in our family, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful name.